Chris and Four are totally a couple, then stay tuned because this is Faction Fandom.
Episode 12. Woohoo! So, welcome back, Alyssa.
Hey! It is so nice to be back.
We missed you last episode during our movie commentary. I trust you saw your own copy of the movie.
I did. And it was lovely.
You own it?
I don't own it, but I did see it again when it came out.
Did you check out deleted scenes?
No, because it wasn't a DVD.
Embarrassingly put their head down on the desk.
Because for whatever reason, they haven't quite figured out how to give us all the extras when you're watching digital copies of things on places like Netflix and on demand. So you can't like get all of the digital extras like you would on a DVD, and it's annoying. But I did watch it again, and I was happy, and I enjoyed it all over again. And I still want her abnegation dress.
You still want her abnegation dress?
I still want her abnegation dress.
I remember that big conversation we had. If you do ever get the DVD, you will definitely have to check out the extras.
Definitely.
After Sarah and I watched it, we went through the DVD deleted scenes,
mm-hmm.
and we got to see a little bit more of Capture the Flag.
Oh, fun.
We got to see the knife in the eyeball.
Ooh.
With Edward.
Yeah.
Which they cut, but they put in the deleted scenes.
It's a little
So that
graphic.
Was good. It was, but you know, it didn't look
graphic.
Choreographic. It looked appropriate for the show.
Okay.
Like, it was, like, yeah, there was blood and he had a knife protruding from his face, but it wasn't like, oh my gosh.
It wasn't like Quentin Tarantino over exuberant violence.
Yeah, it was just like, holy crap, this kid has a knife in his face.
Okay.
But it kind of makes sense because they are dauntless, so
yeah.
I don't know. But it's been a long time since we've had an actual episode over some chapters, so we've got a lot of news to cover.
We do.
Mm-hmm. So basically we missed the entire month of August.
Basically. We had fun in August, though.
August was a good month. School started back up again. Earlier in the month, the Teen Choice Awards came on.
Yes.
And we talked about how Shailene Woodley and Ansel and Theo were all nominated for a bunch of different stuff. And now that they are over, we've got a lot of awards to give out. So let's see here. Shailene herself won the Best Choice Movie Actress for both action and drama films.
Yep.
Totally. Theo won Choice Movie Actor for action film.
Okay.
Ansel won Choice Movie Actor for the drama. And he also won Breakout Star for The Fault in Our Stars. Yeah. So The Fault in Our Stars won Choice Movie Lip Lock, Movie Chemistry, and Movie Drama. No, it's not surprising. And then Divergent won Choice Action and Adventure Movie. So there are a lot of awards going along. Sadly, I think The Fault in Our Stars made a bigger splash than Divergent, though.
Probably. For a lot of reasons. But
why for those reasons? Because it's different?
Well, I think it had a bigger emotional impact. And I think that's what really had people going to begin with. I don't know. I feel like people were more excited to see The Fault in Our Stars than they were to see Divergent.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I guess I expected Divergent to make a bigger splash. It didn't do bad. It did really, really well. Of course, it won all these awards, and a lot of people loved Shailene. But you know what my theory is? Because Divergent came out before The Fault in Our Stars, I think that a lot of people saw her and Ansel in Divergent. They kind of came out in the show. And then once The Fault in Our Stars came out, they were like, oh, these two people that we really, really like. And it was just insane because it's a drama about two kids.
Yes.
Who died, but we're in love.
Well, we assume Hazel Grace dies at some point.
Well, she's human. She's going to die at some point.
Yeah, I know, but she's also got, like, cancer.
Yeah. It was sad. It's a good story, though. I'm not dissing the story. I just wish Divergent would have made a bigger splash than that one. But that's okay. That's just my personal opinion. Moving on. We got some news. Okay. So, Veronica was it newsworthy? I think she put it on her blog, I think is what it was. I saw it on Tumblr first. But there is a Divergent Collector's Edition coming out in October,
exciting.
Right? So new edition. It's going to have extra content. I know a lot of people have been getting extra content when they buy like pre-orders and when they, you know, get sets and box sets and things like that. But this extra content is going to come with 72 bonus pages.
Wow.
Which is crazy. Yeah, there's
That's
a bunch
crazy.
Of stuff. What all is in there? There's like essays and early stuff from Veronica Roth. There's like a clip from the manuscript of the movie. This one I'm excited about, the map of the Dauntless Compound.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
I love it when they come out with illustrated stuff. I think that's really, really awesome. Some Divergent discussion questions. I think we should be able to have this right now. This would have come in handy for our podcast, but whatever.
It would have, but whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and then we have some favorite quotes, and it says, in parentheses, illustrated by fellow initiates. So I didn't know what that meant, but I do follow... Do you know Risa Rodili? Is that her last name?
I think so.
She's very big on Tumblr. She's a really big graphic artist, and she's a big book nerd. So she puts a lot of like book quotes and stuff and like posters and things like that. And this artist is actually featured on our website right now. It's Fandom Art. She's got a big collage of Divergent stuff going on. And she posted that she contributed to the collector's edition of Divergent. And so I asked her, you know, well, does that mean you've got like some posters in there somewhere? She's like, yeah, I've got them in there, but I can't say any more than that. So
nice. She's
a really awesome artist. I really admire that because I'm a big art nerd as well. And I'm super excited to see what she's got in that collector's edition.
I think it'll be great.
Hey, when the time comes, Alyssa, do you think there's a chance we may be able to do some kind of giveaway?
I don't know. Maybe. For sure, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, so definitely keep listening. And hint, hint.
Hint, hint.
We may be doing something with that later on.
Indeed.
Nothing for sure, though. Some movie news. Oh, I can't think of his name now. Neil something. Neil Berger. I was thinking Neil Gaiman. That's not the director of Divergent, though.
No.
We know that Neil Berger wasn't coming back to direct Divergent. So mm-hmm. they announced that Robert Schwint is going to be the new director.
Yeah.
But Neil Berger is going to be an executive director, so he will still be in the project. He's just not taking lead on it. So this guy, Robert Schwint, he is known for Red, The Time Traveler's Wife, and Flight Plan.
Yep.
Did you see any of these movies, Alyssa?
I saw Red. Red is hysterical. I saw the time, and I saw part of, or at least most of, The Time Traveler's Wife, which made me cry. So.
Oh, I love The Time Traveler's Wife.
Yeah. It made me cry, so I maybe couldn't watch all of it, but,
I love anything with that girl whose name I can't remember now that I'm thinking about it.
Rachel McAdams?
Thank you. Yes. I love anything with Rachel McAdams.
She's great.
Yeah. Red was really funny. Isn't that the one where.
Retired, extremely dangerous.
Yeah, all those, like, criminals get together.
No, they're not criminals. They're old, like, FBI agents or CIA.
Well, they're not criminals, but they blow things up in my
they're
mind.
Like old, they're like old assassins.
They are so old, but they're like kick-ass assassins.
They're this, badass.
It's got that one old lady in it. Oh my gosh, she's so scary.
Helen Mirren.
Yes. They're very different, though. One's an action comedy and the other one's a drama.
Yeah.
So,
it's interesting.
I mean, there's a lot of action in Insurgent.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of drama, too.
There is.
There's a lot of suspense. That's what I would say. Insurgent's more of a suspense. Because there's a lot of, like, mystery and cliffhangers and what's going to happen next kind of moments
yeah.
all throughout the book. Which you would know if you were reading it.
I would know if I was reading it.
But that's okay.
We've had this conversation many times, and it's just not, it hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen. It will happen. It just hasn't happened yet.
I know. I
feel
like
bad about that. I know.
And if I can't pick on you while we're recording the podcast, then, you know, what's the point?
What's the point?
This one got kind of made me laugh. You know how they're doing, like, theme parks now?
Yeah.
Waterworld. is very successful.
Potter World is successful for a very specific reason.
That
And
it's
that
Harry Potter.
it's Harry Potter.
And it's a
And
completely different world.
it's a hugely different
It's a
world.
beautiful world.
It's a gorgeous
Now,
world and I love it and I want all of it. And I want to
right.
go. I want to go.
Me too.
I need the monies.
Maybe you will one day with
Maybe.
your new job later.
Yes, next year I
But
will have vacation time, which I ha apparently I have to take all of.
yeah, or else you lose it. Like, that's what's the point? It's like working for no reason.
Exactly.
But I get and I understand and I admire the Harry Potter theme park. I am skeptical when they try to talk about a Hunger Games theme park.
How I don't
Okay.
know.
I don't really get it. But
It
here's the
bothers
thing.
me.
Lionsgate owns Summit. So now they're talking about the possibility of a Divergent theme park. And I'm just like,
Why? I
no,
just
I
go to
don't get it
Chicago.
either. I know,
I
I
just
just
go
go
to
to
Chicago.
Chicago. Yeah.
What's
If I
the
want to
point?
jump on the train myself without it stopping, then I'll make it happen.
I could do that.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd
I
get
don't see it
arrested.
either. I
It's just.
think when it comes to theme parks, it has to be a very specific, very distinct type of genre to be able to pull that off. And dystopian, it just doesn't work.
It
I
doesn't
don't
work.
see why they're trying to throw that in there. It's too relatable to the normalcy of what we have right now.
It's because they're trying to make more money. That's all.
I know.
It's
You should have
cranky.
saw my face when I read that they were trying. They tried to do that with Twilight too. They tried to make a Twilight theme park.
I'm sorry. I really wish our viewers could hear my fa to see my face.
You literally moved so that the camera could have this ugly face
Well, I moved so that I
picture.
could pick up my charging cord, but it just happened to be at a perfect angle for the glare of my eye.
Glare of your eye. Yeah, that. So
The
hopefully it'll
glare
be
of my
just
eye of incredulity going,
whatever. Divergent theme park, no.
no.
Thumbs down.
I'm down for theme parks. I enjoy theme parks. I don't need
Especially
dystopia
when
to
they
be a theme
revolve
park.
around Harry Potter. Yeah.
Yes, Harry Potter.
I'd rather go to a Star Wars theme park before I go to a Divergent one.
I
Sorry.
would so go to a Star Wars theme park.
See? That make Hey,
It's
once the
like
movies come out, if Disney does
actually
not
not even
jump
funny.
on that, then they're just wasting their money.
It's
Oh, that would be
amazing that they
great.
haven't jumped on that already, actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
You know what will happen,
I
Becca?
want to go to the bar. I
Again,
want
because
to go to
it's
the Tatooine
but that's the
bar.
thing. It's sci-fi, it's not dystopian. It's
Exactly.
specific sci-fi, outer space, completely different world. It
It's
makes total sense to try to throw people in that.
exactly. It's a different world, and dystopia is not a different world. It
And
doesn't
like
work
Harry
that way.
Potter, it has a very distinct loyal fan base.
Yep.
And it's already established. People will pay money to go to that. So,
I would pay good
whatever.
money to go to a Star Wars theme park.
This is all just rumored, but I thought, I thought we had to broach that subject well before it went any further.
I think they're stupid.
However, speaking of rumors, John Feltheimer, Lionsgate CEO, what's it say? Seemed interested in the chance to bringing Four's short story to the big screen.
That could be
So
interesting.
there's talk of, the new Four short stories, the one that you just bought,
I did just buy it. It was very exciting.
turning into a fifth film. It's different. It would be more of like a prequel
Yeah.
because that all that book takes place before Divergent.
Honestly.
Maybe like the last short story takes place during Divergent, like when he first meets Triss. I think I haven't finished it, I'm not sure, but I'm thinking that's what happens. The question is, are they really gonna want Theo James to play the young Four?
No.
Or are they gonna give that as an excuse to cast a new Four? A new younger Theo James.
I think so.
The guy's old already.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all for old people playing young people.
He's like in
I
his
mean, it makes
30s.
sense. Yeah, I mean, well, he's not old, but I mean, he's older than the part he's playing. And by the time the last Allegiant comes out, he's going to be definitely pretty out there. Also, rumored news, because no, Lionsgate owns Summit, there is high chance that the Insurgent trailer will come out during the Mockingjay premiere.
Nice.
And it makes sense, too, because, I mean, you're targeting a dystopian fan base audience.
Yeah.
And because they own it, they had the right to do that, so.
Yes.
Next on our other fandom news, we've got to talk about Isla and the Happily Ever After. It came out in August, towards the middle endish, and I may or may not have read that book at least 3 times now.
Yeah, I read it. I didn't get a lot of work done that day because it came to me in the mail. So my problem was, I told you about this earlier, but my problem was is that I had ordered it off of Book Depository, and
yeah,
it didn't come out, and it wasn't. And then it came out early in stores, so people were buying it and posting about it on Tumblr, and I was getting pissy because Book Depository didn't send it out until after, like, the actual published date.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't get it for, like, 2 weeks after the published date, because that's how long it takes Book Depository to send. And I continued getting really pissy with people, and then it came, and I didn't get a lot of work done, and I adored everything about that book.
It was so good. Oh my gosh.
It was
such a good book.
It was everything that I wanted it to be and didn't know that I wanted it to be.
It was really, really good.
It was so good.
I would even argue that it's my favorite.
I think it is my favorite.
All of the companion books, all of this Anne and the French Kiss companion stuff.
Yeah.
We know that Stephanie Perkins took longer to write this book than she did the others, and that's because she was going through a little bit of health issues, trying to get over that, and I think that the writing in Isla and the Happily Ever After is very distinct. You can tell that it's much more elevated than her other stuff.
It is.
You know, it's almost like you can tell that the quote-unquote journey that she went through writing all these books, they're her very first novels, and for them to be such a big success like that, it's just crazy that she's exploded like that. And she's such a humble, almost an introvert kind of a person. So, kudos to her.
It's
a really good book.
It's a really good book. And if you haven't read it, I very highly suggest that you do.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So, like, if you've listened to the show, you know we talk about Stephanie Perkins a lot. So
we do.
This is not a surprise. This book was really good. It's out now on hardback. If you want to buy it from Book Depository and wait a very long time, it's out on paperback.
You can get it on paperback because I am obsessive and I do that. So you can get it on Book Depository for cheaper than you would be able to get it in paperback in a store.
Mm-hmm.
Because it ships internationally, so they pull their books from all over the place. Irritatingly, it's a little bit smaller than my copies of Anna and Lola, but I'll survive.
I think I'm going to hold out until they sell everything in a box set.
Nice.
And I'll probably will just buy all of them together. Hopefully, they'll sell them all in hardback. So Anna will go straight to a hardback with the new pink covers instead of the ugly cliche ones. I mean, I love Stephanie Perkins, but she can't control the covers on her books. But the new ones are much better.
The new ones are much better. No, she can control to a certain amount of. She can control to a certain amount.
I doubt she had much to say, or that they would take much into consideration. You know what I'm really waiting for? And if they don't make this, I will shoot someone in the face. I want a copy of Josh's comic. What does he call it? A life.
Oh God,
it's called something.
It is, and it's in my mother's life room right story? Now because I'm making her read it. Life of a, I don't know, whatever. I want Josh's comic book.
It's more than a comic book. It's like a big, giant, illustrated novel. A graphic novel. Josh's graphic novel, that's what they're called.
That's what you were looking for?
Yeah, that's what he calls it.
I know, but that's the word you were looking for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, so, you know, for people who haven't read it, Josh, you know, is our male lead, and he's a big artist, and so he writes his big graphic novel, and Isla is able to look through it at the very, very end, and it's very climactic, and it's wonderful, and if they don't publish that, I will be so mad.
And it's a moment.
It really does. I bet it'd be great. People will pay money for that.
I would pay big money for that.
But to wrap up our Big Fandom news, do you have anything you want to add that's going to be happening this fall? Something we can look forward to? Like any
Life.
type of book releases or
You
movie
know,
releases that's happening later? It's kind of the beginning of the fall season, so
it is. I
there's
know
a
that
lot
there are
happening.
books out there that I'm looking forward to coming out, but none of them are actually coming out this fall. A lot
Yeah,
of
I
the books that I'm
know.
looking forward to are coming out early next year, which is irritating and annoying, but
Collector's
process of
edition
life.
coming out in October.
There is that.
I know what you mean. What's the one I'm waiting for? My next one is Winter
No,
by
Ferris comes
Marissa
out first.
Meyer. I know. I don't know that I really want
You know what? I will take it and I will read it in a minute, but I'm waiting for Winter more than I'm waiting for Ferris.
I know. Ferris is good. It's I just
Ferris will assuage my need for a moment, and then I'll freak out and wait for November because I want November.
I like Queen Lavanna as a bad guy. I don't want to read some little novella about how she turned into a bad guy
But it's
because
not a
some tragic
novella.
backstory happened to her.
It's not a novella.
It's not?
It's a full-blown novel.
It is? It's a full
Yeah.
book.
It's a whole,
Okay.
it's like 300 pages.
See, that's a lot of pages. Again, I don't want to read a big book about her tragic backstory and
I
turning
am
her
so
into a.
intrigued though.
I don't want that to happen. She just plays such a good evil villain. I don't want her to be
But I
evil.
think she is an evil villain from like the get-go. So I don't know if it's like a tragic backstory.
Maybe if she's like a psychotic person and
I'm
like gets
kind
into
of.
her psychotic mind, I could read that.
I could read that and I could be perfectly happy reading that. Maybe the purpose behind releasing it before Winter is so that we get more of a background on what happened to Winter rather than
Maybe.
have it build up in
Yeah, that's true, because
the book.
Winter is kind of loopy, isn't she?
She's super loopy.
So she's gonna be hard to kind of explain everything in a coherent book for her.
I
I
think
don't
we
know.
need. So it's entirely possible that that's what this is going to be about, more than Lavanna. I mean, clearly it's going to be about Lavanna because it's called Ferris. But I think it's.
Yeah,
I find it
so.
irritating. Maybe her real name is Ferris, and that's why it's called Ferris. And I don't know. Whatever.
Oh, there goes my dog,
But yeah,
barking
so
away.
that's my one of my January things that I'm looking forward to.
Not in the fall. As a listener, if you want to write us in and give us some fall release recommendations, then be my guest,
Please
because
do. Clearly,
everything
we're
I'm going to
lost.
read this fall is stuff that I already own. I just need to catch up on.
Oh my God. I showed you
I'm
my
so sorry.
TBR pile.
Yeah, you did. It's crazy. For a girl with many bookshelves, you have a lot of books not on your bookshelf. I'm
Have a
just
lot of
saying.
books not on shelves.
Oh my gosh. Okay, let's
I'm
get
getting an
into some
apartment.
chapter by chapter.
Wait,
What?
I'm moving into an apartment.
So that's for sure. You are moving into an apartment.
I am. I have to get my application fee and deposit down, but I am moving.
Yay.
So I have to buy like five massive bookshelves for my apartment.
Can have like a you can have a study where the entire wall is a bookshelf.
Exactly. So my best friend is like, so basically, you're just going to be living in a library,
Books
basically.
everywhere.
I was looking at all the
That's
walls of
super
the
exciting for
apartments.
you.
Thank you. I was looking at the walls and all the apartments going, this could be a really good bookshelf wall. And the ladies were just looking at me going, really? That's the thing that you're concerned about? I'm like, you have no idea how many.
Yes.
They're like, most people
Like in
are really
seriously.
super excited about the walk-in closets. I'm like, oh, don't get me wrong. I'm thrilled to have a walk-in closet, but I need bookshelf
The
space.
walk-in closets could make really good bookshelves, though.
I need the walk-in closet though for clothes.
Yeah.
Because as you
You
can
need it for
see,
that abnegation outfit.
yeah, I do need it for the application outfit. I
You
need
need
that
it for
outfit. I want that.
the gray dress.
That is like a lounging Sunday afternoon outfit, and I want
We're gonna make a Kickstarter so that everybody can can
it.
buy Alyssa Triss's
You know what? I will
abnegation
take it.
outfit before
I
she
will
turns
take it
Nala.
in multi colors. I will take it in all colors, not just the gray and brown. I will take it in
Oh my
all
gosh.
colors.
Alrighty, we really need to keep going.
We do.
So now that we're done with our news, we'll move on to chapter by chapter. Oh my gosh, it's like we haven't done this in forever. So to give a little recap of where we left off at, Fjord just took Triss through his fear landscape
Woohoo!
in the book. So emotions are very high, and this is what happens starting now. So yeah, they go down to the chasm, and they have, I don't know, I think this is just that typical,
They have a
I
moment.
like you like me, awkward moment, let's kiss a lot kind of scene,
Which
which
has
is
bothered
essentially
me
all it is.
intensely.
It bothers you, why?
I hate those. I mean, I'm not reading this book for that kind of stuff. I'm like, all right, suck it up. Let's move on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm like, I get that most of these books need to have like the romantic tension thrown in for giggles, but oh my God, I'm over it. That's not what I'm reading this book for. I'm reading this book for an empowering female presence where she kicks ass and takes names and changes the world. That's what I'm looking for. And that's so in these types of books, I'm like, okay, get over it. I'm done. I'm done now. So that was my experience.
I
Whereas
get that,
it
but
was really nice watching Theo James take his shirt off. That said.
that's true. This scene was changed up a bit in the movie, but very visually pleasing.
Very visually pleasing.
This scene in particular, now I love the gushy gushy love stuff, but I love in particular that when Four admits that he likes her, this is why I left Abnegation, this is why I'm here in Dauntless. And she's sort of fishing around trying to see if he really was divergent or if he came to Dauntless because he wanted to leave his dad. He actually admits that he likes her. But here's what I like about it. She doesn't get it. And this is about the first time that we really see Triss as a girl, as a teenage 16-year-old girl,
What's true?
because her crush, who is older than her, who is an authoritative figure, who's muscled and very, very hot, likes her. And that just doesn't make sense to her because she likes him. Like, why would
Exactly.
he do that?
I know.
I think it humanizes her, yeah. That I like that it's awkward for them because even though they're these really boisterous and loud and crazy people, they are still people and they
They
do still
are.
have all these like crazy emotions. Tip, Four is a lot more emotional than Triss is.
He is.
We don't see that yet, but he's a very vulnerable person.
He is, and it's kind of that's kind of sweet. You see the difference, non-typical gender stereotypes, and
Which
I
is,
like that.
what we like about him. So this is their moment. I don't know. They're not officially a couple, but they kiss and make out a lot. So I think that's official enough.
It's very official.
They this is why it would seem so weird because the next day when Four is ignoring Triss, she gets all mad and pissy. Like, what? I'm good enough to make out with when we're alone, but when we're in public, you can't acknowledge me? Fine, be that way. Meanwhile, all the Dauntless Born and the transfers are all coming together. They're going on to their final chapter of the initiation stage to the Fear Landscapes,
True,
which
true.
Triss already knows about. And they each take a turn going through Lauren's Fear Landscape. Lauren's a new character. She's a Dauntless Born. I'm not sure that she plays a vital role in the next books, but new characters still.
They're fun.
We get some more diversity. It would work out that Triss's fear that she has to experience is kidnapping.
Which
Given
just
everything
happened
she's gone through. Yeah, given everything she's gone through with
recently.
Al and Peter. So that's great. She freaks out because it's like super traumatizing. And what does Four do? He yells at her.
And what does she do?
She slaps
Max
him.
him right across the
Which
face.
is great. I know. Like in front of everyone too. Like I could never do that, but I thought that was awesome. Now, as a reader, we kind of understand why Four would act this way in front of other people. He obviously is. He's putting this on as a front. But when you're 16 years old,
You don't really see
I
that.
love her for this. Yeah, like she actually has the balls to smack him,
Which I
which
so
is awesome.
appreciated.
But then she runs away. And then we get into chapter 8, which was very, very long. Yeah, you should read it.
All right.
Alyssa went ahead and typed up chapter 8, so we'll see what she came up with.
So, chapter 28, Triss goes off to visit Caleb, and while they're having a moment, so she basically tries to, like, walk around Erudite for a while and can't find him, and then suddenly people are like, oh, by the way, if you want your brother, Caleb's over that way. But not really. And then Caleb suddenly, randomly, completely shows up, and they hang out, and they're chatting, and neither of them are particularly pleasant to each other. So they just talk about the state of the factions, and that's when Caleb warns Triss that something bad's gonna happen, which is sad. And then, if we remember from way back when, Triss's mother, when she came to visit, asked her to ask Caleb about the faction serum that they get when they're, like, being tested for which faction they should go to. And then he says, fine,
you're not
whatever.
Reading this verbatim.
I'm not reading this verbatim. I will read it. I'll read the next one verbatim.
Okay.
So after that, she gets asked to go talk with Janine, who was plotting with Eric earlier. They have a lovely chat where basically Triss lies and says everything Janine wants to hear while clearly avoiding all the questions about Divergence. And she's put back on a train to Dauntless where Eric gets super pissy, and she gets saved by Four, who is now like, no way was she plotting against Divergent. They kiss, and then she goes back to the dorm, and then Christina's like, oh my god, me and Will kissed! And then it's all 10 kinds of happiness and delightfulness, and Triss is like, but I can't tell you about the boy that I've been kissing, because it's Four. So they're all happy at the end of the chapter, basically.
I can't believe you just summed up that entire chapter that long. Oh, man. No, I'm glad you did, though. I would have gone on and on about with it. But it was a very big point.
Which bit?
The whole chapter was
very
big.
Oh, the chapter's huge. It's a huge chapter, and it's a really important chapter because it's when we realize that, you know, it's Janine at Erudite who's plotting and being kind of, like, creepy with people in Dauntless.
Well, this is the first time we meet Janine in the book.
Yeah.
Triss knows her face, and the only thing she really knows about her is that her faction writes crap about the Athanasians.
Yeah.
Well, almost crap. There is one true story in there, but most of it's really bad. And now she finally meets her. And Janine is not Kate Winslet. She does not act all calm and cool until the final scene.
Nope.
She's kind of a
bitch.
You know, intimidating.
Kind of a, can I say it?
Oh yeah, we've said worse than that.
We have said worse than that, haven't we?
I think if we can call people an ass, you can call her a bitch. She is what
right.
She is, though.
Cut
on the other hand, on the other hand, now we know that Caleb is being manipulated and kind of corrupt in his faction that he chose.
True.
Do you really blame Caleb, though? I mean, he hasn't really done anything just yet, but the way he talks to Triss and how he kind of blames his abnegation for being corrupt, and she's like, Caleb, snap out of it. What are you talking about? And he's like, Triss, come on. It's the truth. You would know. And everybody insults her. Why does everybody insult her for choosing Dauntless? Because they're the meanie? They're the mean faction?
Because,
I don't know.
Because they're, generally speaking, I find this to be very true. Generally speaking, nobody appreciates the armed forces. We all kind of accept that they exist and understand that they're there for a reason, but nobody really appreciates them.
I do understand that point. Because at the end of the day, they're the people with guns.
Yeah.
And they're the people that have to be brute and kill. And everyone thinks that's just like the worst thing.
Yep. But especially in like a dystopia type of situation, nobody likes the people with guns.
Yeah.
The people with guns in dystopia are not the ones that we trust.
Which, if you've read the whole book, makes sense.
It totally makes sense. But at the same time, it's so not the point.
Yeah, I know.
Because it's really not their fault at the end of the book.
It's so sad.
Yeah. And then Four takes her back on the train. Does that happen in this chapter?
To show everything. I think so. Yeah, he takes her back on the train because he wants to show her something, but then it cuts off in chapter 29. To chapter 29 after that.
Right.
Okay, if we're talking about favorite scenes and quotes and stuff like that, I do like her and Christina's scene.
That's so cute.
Because, I mean, aside from the fact that they're both in Dauntless, Christina is the girly one between the two.
Yeah, completely.
And she's like, Can you just be a girl for a few minutes and just like, okay.
Okay.
Like, I'm always a girl, but okay. I know, but it's kind of sad that she doesn't get to tell her about four.
Yeah, but it
That's
makes...
half the fun of having a girlfriend is so you can, you know, chat about that.
He kissed me, and it was wonderful, and I loved everything about it.
He kissed me, and that's why I slapped him this morning, because, exactly. You know, he was being rude.
Yeah.
He needed to be put in his place. That's what he a girlfriend did. Does.
Exactly. But am I really his girlfriend? I don't know. It's very confusing.
If you're following with us, I doubt you are. But if you are following with us, we'll pick back up and get up to chapter 32 next time. So we don't have a big game for this day, but we do... We've read the Dauntless Manifesto on the show before, back in the earlier days. And now that we've kind of seen the new erudite compound, this would be a good opportunity to read from the erudite manifesto. And if you don't know, the manifestos are like the laws that each faction lives by.
Right.
Let's see here.
You're going to read the whole thing?
So, I'm going to try to. I'll skip around a little bit, though.
Okay.
We submit the following statements as truth. Ignorance is defined not as stupidity, but as the lack of knowledge. The lack of knowledge inevitably leads to the lack of understanding. Lack of understanding leads to a disconnect among people with differences. Disconnection among people with differences leads to conflict. And knowledge is the only logical solution to the problem of conflict. Therefore, we propose that in order to eliminate conflict, we must eliminate the disconnect among those with differences by correcting the lack of understanding that arises from ignorance with knowledge. The areas in which people must be educated are, and then it's got like sociology, psychology, mathematics, science, communication, and history, and little bits and pieces about all of that. Leaders must not be chosen based on charisma, popularity, or ease of communication, all of which are misleading, and have little to do with the efficacy of political leader. Hint, hint, that's why they hate the abnegation. An objective standard must be used in order to determine who is best fit to lead. That standard will be an intelligence test, administered to all adults when the present leader reaches 55 or begins to decline in brain function in a demonstrable way. Which is kind of sad.
Yeah.
I'm going to skip a couple of paragraphs. Intelligence must be used for the benefit and not to the detriment of society. Those who use intelligence for their own personal gain or the detriment of others have not properly borne the responsibility of their gift and are not welcome in our faction. So it bears repeating, intelligence is a gift, not a right. It must be wielded not as a weapon, but as a tool for the betterment of others. And that's the erudite faction. There is a distinct line of what the faction systems were based on originally and what they've graduated into.
Yeah.
And even though it is kind of, you know, very intelligence and mathematical and academically pointed out, you can tell that even the erudite manifesto was based around something that was supposed to be unbiased and to help the community, not to destroy others in the process of trying to gain knowledge. So.
Yeah.
So there's that. Moving on. I'm trying to keep up with this whole fandom, fan art of the week. People who do a lot of like fan fiction or a lot of like fan art on Tumblr or on DeviantArt, just online anywhere, are really talented. And we like to promote that.
We do.
So today's fan art of the week is by Risa Rodilli, which we talked about before in our fandom news. And she has a divergent collage she put together. She did this all on her own. And then we have a link to her Tumblr so you can see some of her other work as well. She does have some contribution to the new Divergent Collector's Edition. So if you want to check her out, definitely do that. I know, I'm so excited for her. Now, we are going to move on to some emails. We had a couple of people email us over the past like month and a half, and I apologize that we haven't read them yet because we haven't had like a real episode to be able to do that. But I did email you back, so that should count. On the website, it says down here, love the podcast. Keep on podcasting no matter what. Also, I love the outro of this episode. Lord Royals. Thought I would kill to find out where I can download this. Anyway, good luck for recording and remember DFTBA.
Hello.
I wish I could read who it's by. Oh, it's by Crumple Horned Unicorn. So, to let you know, we don't make any money off of the show.
Nope.
So, we do have the option of using other people's music. which we have permission to do. I always email them before that happens because that's rude not to give credit where credit is due. We don't announce it in the show, but if you go online on the website, we always give credit to the music and the artists who we borrow them from in the show notes below the episode.
Yep.
In that particular episode, we did have an outro song, a cover of Royals. It's an acoustic cover, which is really, really cool. And I'm going to pull it up right now. His name is, and I'm going to tell you, Crumpled Unicorn, because you deserve to know. His name is Lucas Jury.
Yes.
And he is on iTunes and he's on YouTube, so you can just look him up. And if you want to download that song, I'm sure he'd love that.
Yes.
But if you do have any questions about the music that we use for the show, you are more than welcome to visit the website. And on the post with our current episode, it'll show the credits to where we could get all of that good stuff at.
If you're not quite sure what the website is, it is factionfandom.com.
Oh, I didn't say
just
that.
In case.
Thank you.
It's okay.
Yeah, you can go to factionfandom.com.
Just in case you don't know what it is, it's super easy to find.
Just in case.
It's factionfandom.com.
And then the next comment underneath that says, I love the audio commentary you did of Divergent. Please keep on posting. And that was posted by Amanda. So
I was sad
Amanda.
That I couldn't participate in that, but
that's okay.
I wasn't in the room.
It would have been difficult, and I would have asked Alyssa to join us if I knew how to make that work. But we do have a hard enough trying to get both of our internets to work just to do the show.
Yes,
we have issues with internet.
You don't know how often we have issues.
You don't
we have
know.
So many
this
false
starts. You know, honestly, we should get paid for doing this. I feel like this is a lot of work we put into it.
It's a time-consuming process.
But we do because we like it. So
yes, we
good.
Do. We do. It is fun.
Okay. Let me pull one of these up. This may be the same Amanda. I'm not really sure. But another fan wrote into the email, which is factionfandompodcast@gmail.com, if you didn't know.
Yep.
And she asked, she says, if you're really interested in my opinion, I am interested to see what Kenyon Lonsdale will bring to the screen, who is our new Uriah.
Yay!
He seems like a promising actor, and I really like seeing unknowns brought to the big screen. About Zeke and Shauna, I also do not think they will be in the rest of the movies. This makes me really upset because I really adored them as a couple throughout the series. I found that it was mostly Uriah and Zeke who brought all the humor to the books. What really bothers me is if the producers really do decide to take out Zeke and Shauna, why do they have to leave characters like Edgar in there? And my final question is, lately a lot of insurgent publicity has been focused on Shailene Woodley not wearing a wig for the second film. I personally believe it doesn't need all the coverage because I really like her new hair. And she does cut it in Insurgent, so it's not that big of a deal. But what do you think? Does it really need all that publicity? Best of luck to Alyssa to finish reading the rest of this series.
You planted that.
I did not. She totally wrote that in.
I know she did. I'm looking at it. But she totally planted that. Regardless, okay.
Oh my gosh.
So, I'm thrilled to bits that Kenan is been casted as Uriah, because as has been made extraordinarily clear throughout our podcasts, I love Uriah like nobody's business. I love him. He's wonderful. So I'm thrilled, and I'm really excited to see what he's going to be able to do. And I am totally on the same page with the humor. I hope that they're going to be in the rest of the movies. I think it's I think it would be really important I'd be really depressed if they take them out.
The thing about Zeke and Shauna specifically, they do play bigger roles in the later books, but I kind of think they're not going to focus on them as much simply because Zeke and Shauna are both Dauntless initiates. That we already have characters from Dauntless in the movie. Like, we already have very established Dauntless characters. People like Edgar, and this is not much of a spoiler, because if you've read the entire first book, you know that Edgar gets stabbed, and he leaves Dauntless to become factionless. We get a lot more of Edgar later, but we don't get as much of Edgar as we do Zeke and Shauna. However, Edgar is now factionless, And I think the reason why they would include people like factionless is just to diversify the movie bit more.
Probably.
It, when you're making that movie, you can't put everybody in, which everyone knows, but you have to be able to tell the story as much as you can. And if you can get as much diversity into that kind of a story, especially in a world like Divergent where there's all these different characters and all these different like worlds and societies going on, yeah. then they're going to do that.
But I do love Zeke and Shauna and Uriah, so I get that.
This whole thing on her hair, I guess that was a long time ago. Yeah, you know, she does cut her hair in Insurgent, and my guess is just that they're going to, you know, they're just going to start with that. I would think that they probably filmed a couple of scenes of her cutting her hair, or a couple of scenes with her with long hair and then short hair for the next film before she transcended into Chewing the Fault in Our Stars, so that they could use that for the next movie, but I don't think it's that big of a deal.
I don't think it's a huge deal. I think they blew it out of proportion. So, it's the media. I love them. They're stupid. And they focus on ridiculous things.
But they just need something to publish.
They do.
They need something to feed off of, and they're going to pick every little thing they can until they do that. Yeah. So.
And especially with entertainment media.
So that was the answer to you. Do you want to read the next email by
Jen?
Jen emailed in asking us what Tiffio's was, because we do reference The Fault in Our Stars a lot, and we just don't call it that. We call it Tiffio's, and I just emailed her back saying that that's what that was.
Yeah. The second one she said was seen the movie and read the book multiple times. She's a 40-plus mom and fellow nerd fighter who's addicted to YA books. She's just really thrilled to have the podcast. She says, keep podcasting, as my fellow grown-ups are not nearly as interesting. I must limit my fandom conversations to just my daughter, which I'm sure she abhors. Love, Jen. We are so happy to provide this opportunity to you, Jennifer. Also, you have a great name.
Like,
my mother's name.
We're giving her. Your mom's name is Jennifer?
My mother's name is Jennifer. This isn't my mother, though.
That would make sense if she talked to you about it all the time.
Yeah,
it's not. Your mom to email in the show.
I do talk to my mother about it, but it's not the point.
That's okay.
So that's that.
I love that we've got people who listen to us who are older than us. I think that's great.
I think that's
a
fantastic.
A lot of times I assume that our people are like teenagers.
Yeah.
Just because Divergent is very teen. It's YA, you know, but this just goes to show that you do not have to be a teenager to read YA.
This is true.
World. Point. Set and match.
Done.
She's also from Savannah, Georgia.
She is.
Kind of cool.
Very exciting. I love Savannah.
Now for the fun stuff. I don't know.
So I ruined the surprise because I actually do listen to the podcast when I'm by myself.
I didn't think she did. I asked Alyssa if we could record last week, and she said it was her birthday. So I get the idea to record a little snippet asking people to email in and wish Alyssa a happy birthday.
Which I appreciated.
But she heard it, so it's not so much of a surprise.
Sorry.
But you did get an email.
I did get an email, which was super exciting. So thank you for emailing. I did not have any chocolate cake, but I did have...
Oh, man.
That's a lie. I did have a chocolate cupcake. But I did have key lime pie with a group of my friends, which I was very excited about. Amanda was very nice and sent me some book recommendations. I am in the process of reading the Divergent trilogy, as you know. So I'm like in the never-ending process. The next one was Eleanor and Park, which I've devoured and loved beyond all reason. And I don't know that we've talked about this, but it's coming. The movie's coming out soon, and I'm like, holla!
So
holla,
good.
It's complete.
So excited.
And I think a Fangirl movie is complete. Coming out. I'm dying. You can't see me, but I'm bouncing.
Oh my gosh. She is bouncing. She's dancing while she does this.
I do. I bounce. It's fun. Your next suggestion was Under the Never Sky trilogy. I've actually never heard of that. So I'm excited.
I've never heard of it either.
I will definitely look into
sci-fi
it.
Sci-fi dystopian?
Yes. So I'm definitely gonna look into it. It's gonna go on my never-ending list of to-be-reads, I'm sure. Did I read? Delirium, I think, is on my list of things to read.
I have started reading Delirium, but it didn't catch my attention for the first couple chapters, so I kind of
That's
cliffed off that.
yeah.
But it is on my never-ending list of stuff that I've got to pick back up again.
It is. And then Shatter Me, I did read, and
What did you think of Shatter Me? Because
you
I
know,
read that book too.
I'm not gonna lie, it wasn't actually my favorite. I found some things in it that bothered me. But I read it a while ago. I don't know. I got it on my book, and I just it wasn't my fave, but thank you so much for recommending it to me. I always appreciate it when people send me book recommendations.
She says the author does an amazing, all caps lock, amazing
Mandatory.
job at the imagery and character relationships throughout the book. I will give her that.
Yeah.
I am kind of like you. It wasn't my cup of tea. There were some things that bothered me. The one of the things that I felt about this book when I describe it to people is it's a very poetic book. It does
That's
have a ton of imagery.
it does. That is very
She
true.
writes, what's her name? Tara Mafi.
Tara
The
Mafi.
way she writes is very poetic.
Yeah.
So it really paints a picture whenever you're reading.
Yeah.
It's just her writing style, I think, that really gets me. But because I have read it and because the third and final book is out now, I do still want to know what happens in the next book. So I may read the second one just to
Yeah,
figure out what
I'm
happens
kind of
next.
torn on the reading of reading the next books. I don't know. I just, I just didn't. I kind of cared a little bit right after I finished it, but not enough to go out and buy the next book on my Nook.
If you
That's
have
just
read
me.
Shutter Me and you like it, don't be offended. Everyone has their tastes.
Yes. It's
Amanda clearly does. And she's a really good fan. She emails in a lot, so we thank
She
her a
does.
lot for that.
Yeah. But yeah, so
I
that's
have
fun.
a recommendation for you as well, Alyssa.
What?
I didn't email in,
That's
sadly,
okay.
but I do want to recommend something for you.
Okay.
However, you said that you're not so much of a mushy gushy kind of.
No, in I'm a big fan of Mushy Gushy as long as it's in its place, and in Divergent, I don't find it to be in its place.
Okay. I think it's called New Adult. There's Young Adult, which covers characters in their teens
Yeah.
to what, 20?
What?
And then there's like a new adult genre, which is kind of older. They kind of pick up people in their college years from
Yeah.
about 21 to
College and right
28.
after.
It's just a different level of age group, and they're a lot more mature.
Yeah. I would put Colleen Hoover in that generation.
I'm going to recommend to you. Holy crap, I just lost it. Oh, beautiful. No, I got it. Beautiful Disaster by Jamie Maguire. I was pleasantly surprised by this book. It's not something I thought I would have liked, but I did. And it's basically just about these two, this girl going to college. She is kind of has like a troubled backstory, meets this guy who's a big like heartbreaker. They become friends, but there's a lot of drama. If you do not want a book with drama in it, don't read this book.
Okay,
It's a little
well,
grittier.
I'm reading the Goodreads right now, and it's, I like this. Travis Maddox, lean, cut, and covered in tattoos is exactly what Abby wants and needs to avoid.
It's definitely grittier than what I normally read, but I think you would really like it. I may or may not have reread it a lot. And they have some companion books coming out with it, so I'm excited to read those as well. I have a problem recommending it to teenagers.
Well, I was just looking through some of the reviews on Goodreads, and it's been Travis has been put on sort of the same level as Christian Grey by a couple people. So that's probably why.
But I do think Alyssa would like this book.
Okay.
And if you do enjoy books that are a little bit more mature and a little bit grittier, but you don't want to go out and buy 50 Shades of Grey because you're smart,
Because it's Fifty
yay.
Shades of Grey.
You might try this one out instead. It's got a lot more drama, but the story hooks me.
I will give
You're more
out a
than welcome to.
recommendation. I've read many books over the last couple months. But one that I'm currently reading and really enjoying, and if my friend still listens to these, Alex, this one's for you. My friend Alex has been hounding me for like the last month and a half, probably a little bit longer, to read a book series by Lev Grossman. The first book is called The Magician. And I've started it, and I'm really only at this point like 30 pages in, but oh my God, it's really, really good. Let's see, I have it right here. It is,
I feel like I've heard of this before.
it's about these kids in high school, like graduating high school, and well, he reads a book kind of similar to like a combination of Harry Potter and Narnia.
Okay.
So it's like four kids get sent off to their like uncle and aunt in the countryside because dad's in jail and mom's got some weird disease thing going on. And this is like the book fillery. So they find a magical cabinet slash door that sends them into this other world. And he's 17, and Quentin is the main character, and he's 17, and he still like lives and breathes this story. And within the first 30 pages, he finds like this weird doorway that sends him to upstate New York. It's I'm really excited to read the rest of this, and I think that most of our listeners would really appreciate it. It's not YA. It's probably more like new adult. In
Okay.
I wouldn't classify it as YA. Like I picked it up in the sci-fi section of Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
But it's really, the writing is really good, and I'm excited to read the rest of it.
The
So
Magician
that's
by who?
Lev Grossman.
Alrighty. I may
Yeah.
have to put that on my list because I've heard of that. And I've heard it's pretty good.
I'm thoroughly enjoying it. It is coming with me on my business trip tomorrow, so I'll probably finish it
What
this
else is
week.
on your what else is on your to be read pile?
Oh God, don't even get me started on my to be read pile. But if since you
Pick a
asked, I'm
pick
reading.
five. Pick five
I'm in the
books on
process of reading
your
Air of
TBR.
Fire by Sarah J.
Air of
Maas.
Fire.
It's really good. I just need to like sit down and actually read it. It's one of those books that I'm like having a problem with. Like I just haven't had a moment to sit down and really just enjoy it. I just finished An Infinite Moment of Us, which was really clever. It was really very sweet. The Fifth Wave just showed up in the mail to yesterday, so that's
I
coming
don't
up
really know
on
how
my.
that goes.
I will. That's definitely next on my list. I'm also reading on my Nook. I am number four, which I know I'm coming to a little bit late, but it was on like super sale on ebook on BarnesandNoble.com. So I was like, you know what? I'll just read it. It's amazing to me how closely the movie stuck with the book. It was pretty closely kept to the book, which I appreciated, like looking back
Oh, it
on it.
was.
Yeah. So that was that. I mean, that's kind of cool to me that that stayed so closely to the book. But
Yeah.
yeah, so those are the books that I'm mostly reading right now. I've got like five other books that I'm doing, and I'm working on. I'm rereading another book. Really, I'm rereading like five books right now. Couple of
I
the new books that.
reread a ton of stuff. I do a ton of rereading. It's not even funny.
Yeah.
Because I've got like books I need to read, I need to finish, but then I'm just like, I just want to read Lola and the Boy Next Door.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to go back. Right now I have to get through The Shack, which is a spiritual book my aunt swears by, and I'm reading it for her, which is fine. I'm not that far into it,
I
so
tried.
we'll see how that goes. He's trying.
I tried.
Let's see what else. What else do I have up here? I definitely like I had the Screwtape Letters, which are like a lot more. Those are pretty. That's a good spiritual book. I just have a bunch of spiritual books on my bookshelf right now, but those are really good. No, but my TBR pile consists of like sequels. There's Fire by Christine Cashore,
Yep.
because I read Graceling like 10 years ago, but now I need to read this book. City of Lost Souls Because I still haven't finished that, and I need to finish it in order to read City of Heavenly Fire, which came out like 4 months ago. Oh, what else
Totally
is up here?
allowed.
Mr. Penumbrum's 24-hour bookstore.
Read that book.
Paperquake by Catherine Reese. And I'm still reading Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's pretty big though. In my defense, I've progressed through that more than I've progressed through any of the others, so I'm
All
definitely
right.
liking it. It's a long book.
It's a long book.
Oh, and I need to read all of this before I dive into The Night Circus. I want to read this book. I'm holding out on reading it until I finish everything else, but I know I'm gonna like it, and I just need to do it.
Read
So
it.
that's what I'll be checking out in the next few months.
Read it.
I know, I'm sorry. I know I'm gonna like it, and I
You're going
know
to
that it'll
love
be
it.
good.
You're going
And
to
it
love
just,
it.
it's like, it just sits there. I literally will go and I'll pick it up, wanting to read it again, but I'll look at all these other books that I have next to it with bookmarks in them, and I'm like, I can't afford to do this again. I have a problem with not finishing books if I don't.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not even that I'm not interested in them. It's that I'll start reading something and then I have such ADD. Something else will just catch my attention, clearly.
Yeah, that happens.
We definitely love reading your emails.
We do.
Definitely keep doing that because as we go through this, maybe if we get enough people telling Alyssa to read Insurgent, she will. I am kind of hoping that maybe you can just start reading it once we finish up Divergent and we'll get like your initial reactions whenever you do that.
Might
So,
be what ends up happening, but we'll see.
thank you so much for listening, though, guys.
Thank you, thank
Keep
you.
on checking out for the new episodes. We'll keep them coming.
Yep.
And you can always email in at factionfandompodcast@gmail.com. Check out our website,
Dot
factionfandom.com.
com.
We post all of our details, music, credits of our book recommendations. We post like a little brief history of what we're going to talk about. It's great. You should go see it anyway. Fandom art, it's all good.
Yes.
Follow us on Tumblr at faction-fandom. Follow us on Twitter at FFandomPodcast.
Follow me personally on Tumblr at abookblog.com. You can follow me on Twitter at, yeah, asmith86. I think that's right. If not, then it's somewhere on my Tumblr page.
Somewhere on your Tumblr page.
I got
Well, I want to
nothing.
plug me.
Plug
I'm on
you!
Tumblr too. You can follow me at How to Train Your Fangirl, and
When
you
did you
can
change
follow me on
that?
Twitter too. Huh?
When did you change that?
A couple, maybe like a month and a half ago.
Oh, that makes so
I
much more sense.
still,
I
no, I
was
still
concerned
am.
about where you were, and then I was like, I started getting all these things from How to Train Your Fangirl, and I'm like, I don't know who the fuck this is right now. But now that makes more
You
sense.
didn't know it was me?
I didn't know it was you. I didn't catch that. I
Oh
didn't
my
catch the
gosh,
name
no.
change.
Oh, but you can follow me on Twitter too at Steph Beau Ray, STEPHBORAE.
Awesome.
So thank you so much,
Thank
and
you,
we
thank
will
you.
talk to you later next time, Alyssa.
Yep.
So thanks for listening, and bye.
Bye.
How do you say that last name? Robert Schwentke? Schwentke? I'm not
Schwint?
sure how you say that.
Schwint? I got
Schwentke.
nothing. Sorry, there is a, speaking of Harry Potter and things that I would pay for, there exists a Harry Potter like alumni sweatshirt that I think I need.
Are you shopping while we're podcasting, Melissa?
You know, I was on Tumblr and it happened, and I didn't mean for that to happen.
And it happened. Oh
It
my
happened. Oh my gosh,
gosh.
Shakespearean insult band-aids! Thy breath stinks with eating toasted cheese.
No. What are you even talking about?
I went as big as Twixbury mustard.
Oh my gosh.
They have Shakespearean insult band-aids. I love that.
John Fee. I'm terrible with names. Felheimer? Feethheimer. I'm gonna go with this.
Sorry, there's a t-shirt that says, because wizarding schools wouldn't accept FAFSA. FAFSA.
That's awesome.
I love it.
Oh my gosh.
It's so much
Snuggles everywhere.
fun. Yeah, is that a word we're allowed to say?
Are we? I don't know. Go ahead. And if it's not, I'll cut it.
Are we explicit on iTunes?
We are not explicit. We're not rated E for everyone either, so. Until we start using words like. Yeah. This is where I try to keep a boundary between like personal and professional. I want to be a teacher, people. I can't go crazy.
She's a super bitch. Super bitch. She's super bitching. Okay. You can cut that out, please.
That was not necessary.
It's not wrong, though.
Oh my gosh, it's not. Everybody, take your shoes off, let your hair down, go berserk all night long, grow your beard out, just to weird out, go berserk all night long, we're gonna rock this house until we knock it down, turn the volume loud, cause it's mayhem to the AM, so baby make just like a fed, let yourself go, cause a rocket before you kick the bucket, life's too short to knock over broke, so